Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
The battle continues between the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. What a series it has been so far, and very physical to say the least. Very competitive between these two teams, and indeed it is a make or miss league. We have witnessed that in the fourth quarter, and our next guest has been covering all the action. He's joined us several times throughout the season to talk Dallas Mavericks basketball. It's always wonderful to hear the voice of Victor Villalba, the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play announcer. Welcome back, Victor.
Hey, Alyssa, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. It's always great to be on your show, and like to say hello to all the wonderful people that follow you week after week.
Well, we've got lots of listeners. They enjoy having you on. They also enjoy having Mark Folliwell on. So we've got a number of key storylines that I want to jump right into, you know, talking about the Mavericks and the Thunder, this series. And it is interesting, you know, throughout the NBA season, we have witnessed just how physical these games can be, you know, whether it was, you know, at Boston, Chicago, we saw the physicality there, and even against the San Antonio Spurs. But I think between the Mavs and the Thunder, it's gone to a whole new level. What has been your impression, Victor?
Well, without a doubt, you listen to Rick Carlisle and some of the guys after games, and the playoffs is take your game up another notch. Recently, I heard Charles Barkley say that, you know, during the playoffs, if your average was such, well, you have to add 5 points to it. And I think the rebounds is the same thing, and the steals and the blocks and all the different statistics that you look at in the box after a game is over. I mean, these things, the guys that have brought the team to the playoffs are the guys that have to step up their game. Now, as far as physical play is concerned, there is the thought of, if I'm more physical than you, if there is an intimidation factor and I am the one pushing the gears and making that particular presence happen, well, then one team will be at a disadvantage of another. And one of the things that the Mavericks really do need to demonstrate is that their big guys are guys that are not going to allow people to get pushed around, and that they're going to be the ones that are going to be dictating rhythm. Because just like in football, in football to me, it seems like everything starts with the offensive line, even on the defensive side.
Sure.
Well, in basketball, to me, it seems like it all starts in the paint. And then from there, you start moving backwards to the different layers of how am I shooting from the free throw line? How am I shooting mid-level, mid-range? How am I shooting from three-point land and all these different things?
Well, and that segues me to another great question, because I wanted to ask you, Victor, what is your assessment of how the centers have played up to this point? I mean, I give a high five to Jan Mahimi. I think he's been very effective at the five, but the guy I want to bring some juice is Haywood. He's got that big, beautiful body. He's 7 feet tall, 263 pounds, and he's a 10-year pro. He knows what it takes. I want to see him be a little bit more physical.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Now, in the case, you know, of Brendan Haywood, here's a guy that came into the league as a guy with a scowl on his face, with a chip on his shoulder, an enforcer type guy. You put him in the court when he arrived with the Mavericks and the Wizards. Everybody was thinking, okay, you know, here we got a guy that can start with us for a number of years, can be the guy that's going to be the force in the middle. And in the games that the Mavericks have played, you know, the Oklahoma City regular season and postseason. I mean, there have been moments when he has played respectably well, and you look at his numbers at the end of the day. But in game two, I mean, he didn't play but 10 minutes, and he had 2 points and zero rebounds. Something along the way happened there where Rick Carlisle was even quoted as saying, "My gut told me to go in another direction," and he was on the bench a good part of the second half. And it's one of those things that if you have a 20-game winner in your starting rotation, and he's one of the guys that brought you to that point of being in the postseason, well, in basketball, those guys are called centers. And you need to have them 100%, going back to what Charles Barkley said, 120%, because now it's time to really demonstrate the reason you're there. And it's Mavericks. I mean, you're the defending champs, and as long as the king is still alive, well, there is no new king yet, and that's where they're at right now.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks and the Thunder, as you look up and down the schedule, they played two times in the preseason, four times in the regular. I mean, the Mavs played the Thunder more than any other team in the league. I am curious, I mean, are you surprised to see that Brandon Wright's productions are down? Because he has played so well the second half of the season, and we really need him.
Yeah, Brendan Wright, coming off the bench, and he's a change of pace kind of guy when it comes to being in the paint. He has a nice soft shot close to the rim. He is aggressive on the boards. He does find a way to leverage his body, but against guys like, say, for example, Andrew Bynum during the regular season against the Lakers, it was a mismatch and you didn't see his minutes so much. But against Oklahoma City, you're right. I mean, we did see him a propensity of minutes from Brendan Wright, taking into consideration that there is a matchup when Perkins is off the floor with a Nick Collison, or in any given moment, Scotty Brooks changing things up. All of a sudden, he's going one-on-one with Serge Ibaka. I mean, there is an opportunity for Brendan Wright to be a presence. But the fact is that Brendan Wright's game has certainly come a long way from the injuries that he had at Golden State, and the fact that he was a very high pick when he came out of North Carolina. I mean, there is a lot of expectation for Brandon's style of play, not necessarily that he's going to come in and 40 pounds heavier and become an enforcer inside the paint. His game is certainly I don't want to say the word, but I guess it applies. It's a finesse game from the standpoint that he's not going to be pushing people around, but he has a certain way of playing where he's not being pushed around. But certainly his minutes, him being in the game is an indication that rotation is working, and that he comes in and spells Hayward and spells Mahinmi, because there is a moment in the game for him to be in there. And so far, maybe those moments haven't been as many at this point in the postseason.
How big of an impact, Victor, do you think? I think after game two, Rick Carlisle was very forthright in his comments. I mean, did you concur with him in regards to, hey, there's no place for cheap shots. Let's just, throw the ball up. Let's play. Let's play clean basketball. I mean, it's intense. It's competitive. Yeah, it's the playoffs. And I know the level of physicality is going to go to another level, but what Perkins was doing was totally uncalled for.
Well, it all started with the slap in the face to Dirk by Serge Ibaka on that shot, and Dirk obviously took a little, he took a little offense to that, and then before you know it, there was that shoving match with Kendrick Perkins in game one, game two, and then there was this very physical aspect of the game towards the latter part of game one where, gosh, it almost seemed like they were going to be setting up for a scrum and someone was going to throw a white ball between them, because it got a little crazy there. Yeah.
But you got to love head coach Rick Carlisle. I mean, he was right there, watching his guys back.
Oh, no, well, not a doubt. But then in the media, both Scotty Brooks and Rick Carlisle were talking about the fact that, let's play basketball. And there's, we're used to seeing Dirk being pulled and tugged and pushed and all these other things for years now. And he's a guy that has found a way to make that style of play against him pay, because other guys step up and get the job done. And I do think that Rick Carlisle, I mean, he's 28 years in basketball, the time he played, he's coached, he's seen so much basketball. I mean, he knows that that's a fact, and you do have to step it up during the postseason. But there is a certain sense of maliciousness when it comes to trying to get in somebody's head. Now, for example, I would have liked to see at the beginning of the series between the Mavericks and Oklahoma City, I would have liked to see Delonte West get inside Russell Westbrook's head, just because he's an instigator from the standpoint of his style of defense and things like that. But historically, he's done that in a way that the refs at any given moment may call a foul, but he's playing within the limits. The fact that you put a hand on someone's face, the fact that you're right there on them, Russell Westbrook has done that to Jason Terry, being the player that is constantly watching. You have to put 3-4 screens on a guy to be able to get him free. Well, Delonte West hasn't been able to do that. But in the case of the physical play that Rick is referring to, that's when it gets to a point where it's a detriment to the game. It becomes hack so-and-so, and it takes away from the competitiveness of a game when the refs have to be so wary of something happening and teeing up people, and before you know it, someone has a tee and a second one sends them to the locker room. I mean, that's not the style of basketball that I don't think Rick Carlisle wants to see, although competitive, yes, but not that type of basketball.
The great Victor Villalba is joining us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We know him well, the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play announcer. We want to direct you to our radio website, that is eradiosports.com. And Victor, of course, has been in the Dallas-Fort Worth market for many, many years. And talk a little bit about, as far as perhaps this rivalry, how it continues to just increase the intensity. I mean, is this a bigger rivalry than the San Antonio Spurs?
Well, gosh, you know, say San Antonio Spurs, you know, you want someone's eyes to open up wide like saucers. Say San Antonio Spurs.
You cross that Red River, those eyes open up real wide too, my dear.
Well, you know, but see, that's the thing is that's exactly where I was going. Is that, you know, whenever you have a team that is so close regionally, and you play them in the finals of a conference, and you're facing them again in a playoff, and then you face them during the regular season, and each one of the games has been a tight game. And by and large, you know, when people in Oklahoma City think of Dallas, and when people in Dallas think of Oklahoma City, there is an immediate reaction, whatever that may be. But you don't have to wait too far. You don't have to walk too far to get a reaction, regardless of basketball or the Red River rivalry or whatever you want to talk about. So there is something there to be said as far as a budding rivalry. But the fact is that, in my estimation, there still needs to be some water under the bridge before this is really seen as, boy, the Mavericks got to really get up for the Thunder, or the Thunder got to really get up for the Mavericks, from the standpoint of you know, of rivalries of lore, such as Mavericks against the Spurs, or the Celtics and the Lakers, or the Detroit and, you know, Chicago, things like that. So, I mean, it's one of those things that it certainly does have. There is a feel that this is a budding rivalry. There's no doubt about that. And neither one of these teams are going anywhere. I mean, they're going to be playing against each other. They're both in the Western Conference, but yeah, certainly, I think there's still a little water needs to go under the bridge before that.
I am curious. I want to talk about some of the positives that have been going on for the Dallas Mavericks throughout this series. Dallas has been very competitive on the glass, 31 second chance points in those first two games, and 22 offensive boards. I know that makes Coach Carlisle, he's got to feel good about his chances that they can compete in this series.
Yeah, and see, if you look back towards the season as a whole, I mean, there were moments, like, for example, when they were playing the Lakers, towards the latter part of the season, that wasn't the case. I mean, the Mavericks were being pushed around in the boards. They were being out-rebounded game after game. I mean, teams like the Grizzlies were able to do it. And those ended up in the L column. So definitely, you know, the presence in the paint and being able to look at those particular numbers, and if you scan the play-by-play and you see offensive rebound, and then you see defensive rebound, I mean, at the end of the day, that makes a huge difference, because those are possessions where on the defensive side, you're making them pay by scoring, and on the offensive side, you're making them pay by not allowing them to score. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
Well, you know what's interesting too, Victor, is that for the Thunder, Russell Westbrook, I think he's been the best player in the series. Game one, 28 points. Game two, 29 points. But one of the things, he is a very good rebounder, and he's very good at attacking, you know, a missed shot, getting those second and third opportunities. And the Mavericks have kept him in check. I mean, only 4 rebounds in that first game, and he had 0 offensive boards in game two. So they're getting a body on him and making sure that he's not attacking that glass.
Yeah, but, you know, in the same token, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, he's staying outside in the perimeter.
Correct. Oh, right.
That's for a reason, too, because he has had the hot hand. But, you know, just like any other sport, this is very, very cyclical. This is something that one day, I mean, just look at what Serge Ibaka did. He had 22 points in the first game, and I think he had 2, you know, in game two. And the cyclicalness of a series like this that really, you know, we go back to what you had said earlier. You know, is this a rivalry? Is it getting there? Well, it's getting there pretty quick, because each one of the guys that are on the floor at any given moment, I mean, they know who their assignment is. They know this. Like, for example, you talk about Sean Marion. I mean, he knows Kevin Durant better than Kevin Durant knows himself, because of the time they played, they analyzed. You know, and a guy like Delonte West, the same thing should be said when he's playing Russell Westbrook. So the fact that they've kept him off the boards and he's made them pay from the perimeter, I mean, that could change from one day to the next. And it would be interesting to see, you know, if Russell Westbrook does have a cold spell, how is he going to react? And how are the Mavericks going to be able to take advantage of that? Because you're so right. He has been a key in this particular series, and there's still a lot of basketball to be played.
Just a few more minutes with Victor Villalba, the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play announcer. And, Victor, we always like to pause and direct all of our listeners where they can go and listen to you on the dial.
Well, you know, here in Dallas-Fort Worth, the Dallas Mavericks work with Univision Radio, and it's 1270 AM, and we're there. We have a 15-minute pregame show, and we knock out the game, and then we have a short postgame show. And for those people who enjoy Espanol and who enjoy listening to it, well, we're there every single game and throughout the playoffs as well.
Okay, real quick, with the Thunder, you know, we've seen them so many times throughout this year and in years past, but what have you seen differently from them from a year ago? I mean, obviously, you know, they've got the addition of Derek Fisher, and he is a proven playoff guy, but what do you see differently for the Thunder?
Well, one more year is just one more opportunity to get to know yourself a little better, and that's exactly what they're demonstrating now. You know, a year ago, there was this talk which bordered kind of on the ridiculous, where Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant weren't seeing eye to eye, that give me the ball, I didn't give you the ball. I mean, all these different things. And that to them, as you well know, being a former basketball player yourself, I mean, what you see from the outside of the locker room and what's going on inside the locker room, a lot of times is very, very different. And in the case of the Oklahoma City Thunder, it seems to me that they've addressed that particular issue in their organization, that you know, we need to be who we are and be honest with ourselves inside the locker room. And that's a step that a team like this, that is very young, but also that sees that they have a nucleus of players that's going to get them to the playoffs year after year. I mean, I'm talking about the Durants, the Westbrooks, the Ibakas, you know, and James Harden as well. And then you're adding these veterans such as Derek Fisher and Kendrick Perkins, et cetera, and Nick Collison as well. I mean, the nucleus of it has one more year, has basically allowed itself to grow one more year. And that's only good for them from the standpoint that the main pieces continue to be the same ones.
The Dallas Mavericks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the series continues on, and we certainly look forward to listening to you on the dial. Victor, thank you so much for your time, and we sincerely appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely, anytime, and I'd like to just say hello to all your wonderful listeners, and Alyssa as well. Congratulations on your show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment, because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know,
with sports' biggest and best names, Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folliwell.
Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations. I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing, and put them in a position to succeed.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back to our Beyond the X's and O's segment. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell, and so delighted to be alongside the Dallas Mavericks' very own Brandon Wright, whose stock continues to rise, and he certainly continues to prove that he can hold his own with the very best centers in the NBA. And Brandon, let's start off our conversation by talking about what has the past 5 months been like being here in Dallas and being a part of a defending world championship team and organization.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's been a great experience for me. You know, it was a really fast-paced switch up, you know, coming here and, you know, having to do everything so fast and, you know, the lockout and everything so compressed. But, you know, my teammates, my coaching staff, they really integrated me in well. And I mean, I've been happy since I've been here.
And I'm curious, you know, being a part of a veteran club and to have the opportunity to play with some of the greatest players that have ever been a part of this game, a Dirk Nowitzki and a Jason Kidd, what kind of advice, Brandon, have they offered up to you to help you quickly step into the system?
I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for a young guy to come here with such great vets that are so humble and they're willing to take young guys under their wings. I mean, not only they're vets and, Hall of Fame type of players, but they're very, very humble. They're willing to, you know, escort guys, take guys under their wing, and just be very respectful. I mean, it's been a great situation for me. I can't explain to you how much I love it.
Well, you're certainly thriving in that situation, and Brandon, it is hard to believe. Here we are in the month of April, and it's official. The playoff push is now underway. Give us a pulse on the team now that you have key players that are back on board, a Delonte West, a Brendan Haywood, because you guys have been inoculated with an extra boost of confidence, especially when your backs are against the wall. We saw that against Orlando.
Yeah, it's been tough for us this year. You know, we've been having guys in and out the lineup the entire single year. You know, a guy getting hurt here, missing 5-6 games. You know, Delonte missed 20-something games, I think. But, you know, we're coming back together. You know, we're ready to make this stretch run. And we're going to surprise a lot of people in the playoffs.
Let's zero in and talk about your play and production, because you have had an outstanding year. And certainly there are so many games that we can take time to highlight. I think about the game at Denver, but specifically the game in Houston. You had a season-high 7 block shots, and you also hit that key 10-footer, which was really huge. But tell me, Brandon, how have you been able to make such a seamless transition from the power forward position to the center spot?
Well, it's not as hard as people would think. You know, obviously guarding bigger guys, which is okay. You're used to that. You know, the offense is a little bit different. But, you know, with me, I think I can use all my attributes to my advantage, quickness, athletic ability, speed. I think that can hurt opposing centers because they're not used to going up against guys like that.
But what fundamentally have you had specifically to be a little bit more cognizant of, aware of? Because, as you said, you're going against guys that are bigger than you. In fact, they're about 50 to 60 pounds, you know, way more than you've been on the block. I mean, what specifically do you have to be a little bit more disciplined on when you're boxing them out?
Exactly. That's the thing. You got to be more disciplined on box outs. Got to get a body on guys. You know, when you play the four, you can roam around a little bit more. You can just touch and go, but you know, when you're playing the five, you really got to box these guys out, because these guys are coming. You know, that's how they, you know, that's how they get their, you know, their so-called bread. You know, that's, they get rebounds, they're crashing offensive boards, defensive boards. So you really got to be cognizant on that.
Well, head coach Rick Carlisle, he certainly has had high praise for you. He talked about the fact that you're a capable player, a knowledgeable player, but he also, as you were just talking about, the speed, the agility, the lateral movement that you have, that you can. These guys may be bigger and stronger than you, but Brandon Wright, they're not faster than you. You can beat them down to that sweet spot and get that high percentage shot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I come in the game, that's what I want to do. I want to run those guys, you know, make them aware. It's been plenty of games this year where the other opposing teams had to go smaller because I've been in the game, and they don't want their center being outran and, you know, pretty much outworked and getting worn down early in the game because, you know, they're running around and, you know, shorn and, you know, just being athletic and just being, you know, having a lot of energy. So I think it's been a great situation for me. And, you know, I like the opportunity to play at the five.
What has been the biggest challenge in terms of, you know, defensively? I mean, you think of the NBA, it's a pick and roll league. I mean, it's completely different than playing college ball. I mean, you've really had to work on that, I'm assuming?
Yeah, you know, it was the first couple years when I got in the NBA, it was pretty tough as far as the pick and rolls. I wasn't used to having a show and, you know, defend point guards coming off at 100 miles per hour. But, you know, last year and this year was really my two adjustment years on, you know, how to do those things. You got to get low. You got to move your feet because guards will just barrel into you. You get a cheap foul every time. So you want to stay away from that.
One of my observations is with this particular team is that you guys seem that, Brandon, that you have a very special chemistry with the center position, with Mahimi and Haywood and even Yee, that you guys don't have any ego. You don't care who's getting the number of minutes out there. The bottom line is there's no I in team. You guys want to go out there and do the best that you can. So the bottom line is to get that win.
That's what it's about. You know, sometimes you might play 10 minutes. Sometimes you might play 35 minutes. You know, we don't care. We support each other either way it goes. You know, the minutes have been, you know, different for everybody, almost every single game. And, you know, we just, you know, we cheer each other on. And like you said, it's a humble approach. We want to win. And we're going to support each other, you know, even if we're not playing. So it's been great.
How much more of a responsibility, Brandon, do you feel? We think of, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, and you look at these scouting reports, the number one goal is to contain Dirk Nowitzki. We saw it at San Antonio. They were just throwing so many defenders at them in waves. Do you feel more of a responsibility that, hey, I have got to step out and alleviate some of this pressure and take the onus off him and really provide, you know, quality possessions?
Well, I mean, I think it's the type of thing where you need to just play your game. Play to your strengths, and I think I play off Dirk very, 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 very well. You know, they come over with the double teams, he can just drop it off to me, and I can just go high above the rim. I think, you know, his skill set fits my skill set on offense. As far as like him getting double team, I can flash to the ball. If he doesn't hit me, he can skip it over to the next man for a three. So it's been working really well for us.
I am curious, since we're having an opportunity to sit down and talk, who, you know, everybody's got that player that you look up to, maybe not idolize, but you want, you know, you try to emulate on the floor. Who throughout the years have you, now that you are in the NBA, that you've really looked up to?
I mean, that's a funny question, because a lot of people ask me that, and personally, I really haven't looked up to a single player. You know, I take parts from here, from there. You know, you look at players that you like, you know, okay, I want to add that to my game, but it hadn't been one particular player at all.
One of the players that has had a lot of longevity within the league is like a Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. And I think back to the game in San Antonio. You had three blocks in that second quarter, you know, against, you know, Blair and Ginobili, and then also against Tim. I mean, that's got to give you a little boost of confidence and make you feel good that you can hold your own against the best in the league.
I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, you got to have confidence in yourself. And when you lose confidence, you can't play. I mean, you can't really play up to your abilities. You know, if a guy is even overconfident, he'll play up even, you know, above and beyond what he can do. So it's better to be overconfident than, you know, timid and, you know, scared and not knowing what you want to do.
Well, you are, you know, a very self-assured player. And one of the things, you know, Coach Carlisle has talked about, that you have a great feel for the game. Can you share a little bit about, as far as what is it like being a part of this system and playing for truly one of the best coaches in the league?
I mean, it's been a great opportunity since I first gotten here. You know, well, let's go back. Coach was, you know, one of the first coaches to call me in free agency. You know, we really like you. You know, you had some unfortunate injuries in the past, but we really think you have a lot of talent, that you can fit this system very, very well. And, you know, if you were to sign here, it would be, you know, it would be a good opportunity for you. You know, I took that at heart. You know, the world champions calling me, first team to call me in free agency. You know, it was big for me. And as soon as I got here, he took me under his wing. He wanted to develop me. And then, you know, the guys on the team have a lot of confidence in me also, which helps out a lot. You know, when your teammates have confidence in you, it makes your game go to another level.
Brandon, you've had such an incredible career. We think back to your high school days at Brentwood Academy in Nashville, Tennessee. You played 1 year for a terrific coach in Roy Williams, and then, as we were just talking about, in Coach Carlisle. I'm sure you have those moments of reflection where you're like, I've been so blessed.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely been blessed. Have an opportunity. We won 4 state championships in high school. You know, made it to the Elite Eight my freshman year at UNC. It was unfortunate how we lost, but we lost. You know, coming to the NBA at such a young age, you know, had the ups and downs with the injuries, but I'm only 24. So I'm still 24 and 5 years in the league. I mean, I can't complain at all.
We've had an opportunity to talk in the past. What are some of the immediate short-term goals that you have for yourself? I mean, you got a 4-foot vertical. I mean, what else do you want to improve upon within your game?
I mean, you just got to continue to expand each and every year. I'm not even close to being in my prime yet. Just got to continue to develop. I think with young players, they kind of get set into, you know, what they've been successful with. I think you got to stay with that, but you just got to add a little bit as time goes on. And, you know, when you play on a good team like this, a team that has world championship capabilities, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, playing with great players is a great opportunity, especially for a young guy.
But specifically, you want to be able to stretch that defense. We saw you at practice earlier with Coach Brown. I mean, you guys were really working out, you know, from the high post.
Oh, yeah. You know, my natural position is the four. You know, I can catch and go and use my quickness. Or, you know, like you said, one of the things I want to continue developing my jump shot, you know, 15, 18 feet. You know, when I get that in my arsenal, as a consistent weapon, I think the sky's gonna be the limit.
Okay, my final question for you is, what is it about this Dallas Mavericks team and the UNC? I mean, we've got a huge alumni base here. We've got Vince Carter, we've got Brennan. I mean, what's it like when you all get together, and do you stay in contact with Coach Williams quite a bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We, you know, we always talk to Coach. We talk to the guys. You know, we had a mass exodus of players. So, you know, we're trying to keep the ball rolling. It's going to be tough next year, but we'll be all right. But, you know, it's great to have those guys in the locker room. I see them in the summertime, so it's not like, you know, I hadn't seen those guys before. But to have them on the team is even better because, you know, those are veteran guys. I'm a younger guy. I can lean on those guys when I need something.
Well, Brandon, congratulations on an outstanding season. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Be sure and join us online at eradiosports.com for more exclusive interviews.